We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. It is Friday the 13th, and what a blessed day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I don't care what somebody wrote in an article about what they said your horoscope was today. I want to tell you what today actually holds for you. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God does not make any junk. He orders the steps of the righteous. David said, I've been young and I've been old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. I'm telling you, God has set you up for a day of blessing. It's not a day to just hide in your bed and pull the covers over your head and say, I'm not getting out and doing things. In fact, today I'm looking for it to be a day of adventure. It's supposed to be my day off, and so there better be some resting in there someplace. But tonight at 7 p.m., we have a prayer meeting at our church. And, we're not having this meeting because it's a have-to meeting. We're having this meeting because we want to hear from God. We want to cry out to him and bless his name. And so that's what is going on. So if you'd like to join us, the address of the church is 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. We're two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney Parkway, and about the same distance east of Tropical Trail, and about the same distance south of Merritt Avenue. So we're right in the old Merritt Park Place area of Merritt Island. We'd also like to say thank you to Wyrick Air Heat and Electrical, 632-9538. Anywhere in the county, if you have an air conditioning, a heating situation, it's been pretty warm, over the past week or so. So, even if your air conditioner has said, you know what, help, I need help, I need attention, call them. They can come out and get you fixed up. And when you talk to Carla there or one of the other ladies, tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast. They will do a wonderful job for you. So that's what's going on. We'd also like to invite you out to our services this week. We will be having our praise and worship service on Sunday morning. We've got Sunday school for adults, Sunday school for kids, Sunday school for teens. We have a Sunday night children's ministry called Role Models, where we are helping the kids to learn. Actually, I believe right now they're working on their Christmas program. We've got some of those kids that are actually moving and transitioning into helper mode. That's awesome. We just love to see people grow in their various giftings. So we've got exciting things that are coming up. Sunday night, we have a missionary that is going to be with us tomorrow. We will be going out and letting a street in our community know that we're coming with food blessings. I'll tell you right now that a week from Saturday, we have our Thanksgiving potluck dinner. That is something that you don't want to miss. I'm telling you, it is just absolutely wonderful. We provide the turkeys, and everybody else that comes, we ask them to bring a side dish or a dessert, and everybody that for the next, let's see, Friday, Sunday night, we have the missionary, but the next two Sunday nights we don't have service. It is an absolutely incredible time, and you won't want to miss it. We feast on God's word, and then we feast on God's food, and then we go home and we rest and prepare to enjoy the holidays with our family. So Make sure your air conditioning is up and running, your heater's up and running. So if Weyrich Air, Heat, and Electric can help you out, give them a call, 632-9538. That tells you a little bit about what's coming up. Let's look now back into God's Word, verse number 12 of 2 Peter chapter 2, picking up where we left off yesterday. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. So we were talking a little bit yesterday on people who speak about things that they do not understand. And believe me, God does not speak in a favorable light about people who do that. And so I encourage communication. That's one of the things that I do. And I encourage you to go to listen more than to go to speak. It is going to take him all of eternity to bring us from glory to glory to glory, from faith to faith to faith. It is going to be a wonderful, wonderful eternity. There, I've heard some people that said, man, I tell you what, after a little bit of time, heaven, you know, has the possibility of being boring without any problems to deal with. And I tell you, that is not the God that I understand. That I believe that there is such a complexity to God and such a beauty about God, a holiness about him, that it the thing that limits what God can reveal to us is not God's ability to reveal, but it's our ability to grasp and to understand. And so when I was in grade school, I played football. My best friend played football, and so we decided that we'd try that as well. And I was first team bench rider. And then in middle school, I tried to play football again. And my brother was very good at football. He actually went to football camps for the University of Oklahoma. And one of the kids that he played football with, we knew their family played baseball with them and stuff like that on baseball teams. One of them went on to be in the NFL and win a Super Bowl ring. And so football was something we love. I love to watch football. My team wins, I'm happy. If they lose, I'm not happy, but it doesn't change my eternity one way or the other. So it's not an idol for me. It is just something that I enjoy. But the problem with my football playing ability was the similar problem to what I had when I tried out for the baseball team in high school. And I did play baseball in high school, just not for the high school team. I played for like an AAU team, or Pony League team, whatever they called it back then. But the problem was that from sixth grade until ninth grade or 10th grade, when I tried out, or 11th grade, whatever year it was I didn't recognize a curveball. I didn't understand. I thought, hey, they're throwing the ball and it's going to be right there because that's where it used to be. And I didn't understand that things had changed and now people were using their arms and throwing different pitches and they were coming faster and all of that sort of stuff. And so when I played football, I didn't understand all of the jargon and all of the lingo. And that is one of the challenges that we face as churches here in modern times, is that we can become so comfortable with our own jargon that it makes it difficult for people to understand what we're talking about. So instead of using the word blasphemy like it traditionally is translated, we use the word speak evil. The word gospel simply means good news. And so if we could make it easier for people to understand, I don't think that that is a bad thing. I think that it is a good thing. But these people speak evil of things that they do not understand. And here is what Peter says. He says, and they will utterly perish in their own corruption. And verse 12 begins talking about these people. And these are people that God wants to deliver. He is able to deliver them from these sorts of personalities and these sorts of mindsets. But it's also people that God wants to deliver us from. And so he says, you don't want the same outcome. You don't want the destination that these people are headed to. And he says, these people are acting as if animals would act that are only going to be caught and destroyed. God does not want you destroyed. He wants you to live. It is the thief that comes to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, that you might have it to the full. So he's telling you, don't be enslaved to these types of actions and these types of mindsets. And he goes on and he says, they will utterly perish in their own corruption. Now, I want you to know that I am just barely technically literate, and that means I'm just a hair away from technically illiterate. I know how to do the things that I need to know how to do, but I'm like most people in their 50s that if they have a technology question, they call for their teenager. And I realized a number of years ago, this is a little bit of a sidetrack, that the reason that teenagers were so quick to grasp the changing technology is because everything in their world changes. It changes constantly. You know, their height changes, their teacher changes, their classrooms change. All of that stuff changes. So change for them at an early age is very easy. And so they're not afraid to press the buttons and find out, you know, what does this do and all of that sort of stuff. I remember we had a teenager at one point in time, and he'd be working on computers, and he would be doing things faster. He just did them so fast I couldn't even recognize what he was doing. And I realized that my mindset was, okay, I want to make sure I don't break this. And his mindset was, I wonder what I'm going to be able to learn about this process today. And so back to the technology issue, that person ended up teaching me how to run a file scan. I'm not even remember, you know, a complete scan of all of the files and all of the data on the computer. And every once in a while, you would come up on this statement that would say something like this: you have a corrupt data file or a batch. You have a corrupt segment in your hard drive or in your computer. And it says, what would you like to do? Because what the problem was where the corruption existed, it was causing the rest of the computer not to function. And so wherever the corruption was, one of the options was, would you like us to isolate this and reprogram the computer around that so that corruption does not affect the operation of the computer? And I think that if there's any area in our life that there is corruption, we need to come to God and say, God, would you remove this from my life? Would you isolate it? Would you cut it off? Because I don't want that area, that defect, ruling and reigning over my life. God says, be holy even as I am holy. And so I believe that it is greatly encouraging to us as the people of God if we realize that there is something in our life that is not the purity level that God wants us to be, that we should come and say, God, deal with this area of corruption in my own personality. So a lot of times we want to deal with the corruption in other people's personalities, but we need to deal with the corruption in our own levels. My father, at one point in time, worked in a semiconductor plant. He actually helped build it. And when he came back, because he had to travel to a different region in order to have that job, when he and my mom came back, he described the great lengths that they went to in order to keep dust and other pollutants out of the manufacturing process of those semiconductors, because they said even a little bit of contamination could corrupt the entire process. And so I want to encourage all of us today to do what the psalmist said and say, God, examine my heart, check it, see if there be any unclean thing in me. See if there be any unclean thing in me. You know why? Because we can become so accustomed to being around us and assuming that everything in us is okay, that we fail to realize that there are things that are not the way that they're supposed to. Why don't we just pause here right in the middle of the broadcast and let's ask God to create in us a clean heart. Could we do that? Father, right now, we recognize that it is your desire, your will for us to be holy. And Lord, you made provision for that through the blood of Jesus. I ask, O God, that you would come right now and you would create in me a clean heart, that you would create in the listeners a clean heart, that you would create in us a mind that is willing to understand and just be the best us that we could be. God, create in us the conditions in the heart that you would be pleased that we have in existence in us. God, we want to be examples of godliness, not examples of ungodliness. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's the problem. If we allow corruption to continue to exist in our mind, in our heart, in our home, in our church, is that, or in our country, and that is this, that there, wherever corruption exists, that organism is going to utterly perish. It will kill it. Corruption is never a good force for modification. It is always a force that hinders the operation of the process. And so it will utterly perish. And it says, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness. If you were to look over in verse number 15, you will find a description. Again, we're in 2 Peter chapter 2, and it talks about Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. So one group of people is going to receive it, and then it talks about a person who had set about to strategize on how to bring the nation of Israel down, and it says about him, he loved the wages of unrighteousness. And I just want to encourage you. There's something that was told me a long time ago, and that is this. If you can be bought, you can be sold. Balaam's services were services that were provided to the highest bidder. He started off only doing, you know, pronouncing the things that God said to pronounce. But on the journey there, I don't have any scriptural proof to do this, but I believe that he was counting the cash as he was on his way to meet the nation of Israel. He said, God, I'll only say what you want me to say, but man, my future is looking very bright because of all of the things that Balaam has promised me, Balak has promised me. Balak was the king that had hired him in the book of Numbers. And I want to ask you, who are you going to put your greatest confidence in as far as it comes to the one who makes promises to you? Are you going to put greater confidence in what the government promises you, or are you going to put greater confidence in what God promises you? Because I've got greater confidence in God than I do the government. And that's not to say I'm unpatriotic. I am very patriotic. By the way, we want to thank those of you who called in and requested a copy of the Warrior's Bible. Please make sure that you give us your address. If you do not give us your address, we can't send that to you. And so if we've called you back and said, hey, we need your address so that we can send this to you, please let us know. We'd love to send you a copy of it, but we need your address. We have a very limited number of supplies of these, so the first ones to call are the first ones to get them. The Warrior's Bible is a Bible written by military personnel for military personnel. And so we look forward to that being a blessing to you. It says these people who speak about things that they don't understand, that they will receive the wages of unrighteousness. And I will be honest with you, when I read that immediately, I went back, and it's to the book of Romans, where it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I encourage you today, there are certain paychecks you do not want. I don't want the paycheck for sin. I want the free gift of God. And if you can be enticed by money or fame, you know, it really is a very sensitive spot in my makeup, my personality makeup. Whenever I hear about these celebrities who are out there and they're utilizing their gifts and talents that God gave them, and they developed them using them for the glory of God, and then somebody came along and enticed them to use their gifts outside of the body of Christ, and now instead of promoting praise and worship and holiness and edification to the body of Christ, they are promoting things that are actually traps of the enemy. That really bothers me. It bothers me not so much for the body's sake, because God's still going to take care of his body, but it bothers me for these personalities' sakes and these celebrities, because the wages that they are receiving are wages of deception. There was a joke that I heard one time, and I'm gonna throw the denominational labels out of the joke here, just tell you the joke. And there were three preachers, three different denominations, and there was a very wealthy man, and he had made, he said, I tell you what, I want to make $1 million donations to each of your churches, and there's only one condition, and that is, on the day that I die, at my funeral, you have got to come and you've got to put that money in my coffin. And so they went on, they used the funds, but one day they got word that the man had died, and all three of them showed up at the funeral, and the first minister went up, and he was just weeping and crying, and everybody thought, oh, just, you know, how much he loved this guy and how appreciative he was and everything. And he dropped an envelope of cash in the casket, and the second guy, his church was struggling at the time, and he was even more out of control than the other guy, and he walked up and he laid the cash down as well, and then he just ran out weeping. And the third guy came up, and he paused for a moment over the casket, didn't shed a tear or anything like that, and he dropped his envelope down inside the casket, and the funeral was over, and they closed the casket and they buried him. And they said, well, we don't understand how could you, you know, just so easily let go of, you know, that $1 million. And he said, well, you know, it's quite simple. I just wrote the check. And you know, there is, if nothing else, maybe that joke brings a smile to your face today. That's all I'm trying to do here is set you up for a weekend where you are ready to worship God. But there are some people who they receive the wages of unrighteousness, and they have this opinion that they're going to find some way around. There are certain celebrities who are not living for God, and yet they said, I always remember that at some point in time, I'm going to be able to return. That bars any consideration that something instantaneous could happen. You know, most of these celebrities are still pretty young, and so they're pretty much invincible, but they don't realize that in their life right now, they're already paying a very steep price for the fame and things like that they have been granted, but it's costing them dearly in their life. And some of those people said, I can always come back. And I've got a friend of mine, and he told a story. I don't remember if it was about himself or if it was about another man, but that there was a man who was in a very intimate relationship with God, and one day he just made a decision that he was going to turn his back on God, and that he intentionally embraced sin, and he did so with the mindset that he would be able to return to God at any given point in time, that was all it was. And what the reality was is that he entered into a period of year after year after year. I believe it was something like 7 years, and that the sin had so entangled him and entered him into a realm of darkness that no matter how much people reached out to them, all he could see was the darkness, and he ended up in 7 years of utter pain and agony because of his own intentional sin. The wages of unrighteousness were wreaking havoc in his life, and finally, after a period of years, he was ready to embrace the gift of repentance that God had for him. And I will tell you this. After God had forgiven him and restored him to relationship, he did not look at those 7 years or however many years it was as a years of blessing. He looked them as years lost. Today, I want to encourage you, don't be bribed by the wages of unrighteousness. Instead, this weekend, let us pursue this wonderful, inexplainable gift of salvation that God has given to us. Let's embrace it to the full. God bless you. We will see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more.